Because you can handle the truth.
I'm just a train that disappears into the darkness. I cannot be saved, but I have been here all along. Dust enchanted, it clings to me. Taken and sprinkled by the sandman. One touch, I disintegrate. Fluttering always through your dreams. And they say they know of darkness, but I have lived there all my life. But a lie knows not the dog's kiss. I am the Maha, and through the lonely night I fly. Death's head grins in the night. Under the moon, a kiss of nectar. You are the flower, you are the light that draws my demons ever nearer. Catch me, please take my life. The glass I'm under like a mirror. Pierce me right through the heart. Stay so coldly here forever. And they say that no darkness, but I have lived there all my life. But a fire knows not the dog's kiss. I am the Maha, and through the lonely night I fly.
Second hour of Contemporary Radio, Public Broadcasting Network. So, let's get into this whole thing. Israel hitting Iranian and Syrian targets. You know, planes getting shot down. Last week, Russian planes. And, I mean, this whole thing. And, you know, that's one of the big things when Trump was running, and I said this on my own program and others that I was being interviewed on, I was like, my what's stuck in my craw here is Syria and this Moshe Dayan, Oded Yanon, Greater Israel Project. And so what I really was worried about was where the Syria situation was going to go post Obama with Trump. And, you know, we had the cruise missile strike, 59 cruise missiles. I believe it was 59. And I was real pissed about that. I was like, Trump really jumped the shark with that one, but then it went quiet. And now we've got, you know, Israel. I mean, I covered this probably a year and a half ago, Israel possibly nuked Syria with a mini nuke. I mean, all kinds of things have happened with the Israelis pushing on the Syrians, and, you know, Russia being very, let's just say, pounding things within Syria, these aka ISIS, Daesh strongholds, Free Syrian Army, White Helmet garbage. There's so many psyops running on us here with Syria. It's horrible that these people are caught in it. The pipeline battles between these two visions of where the pipeline should roll through and who runs them. It's horrible. Let's roll clip 10.
For more than 2 years, the Russians have protected the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad. Now there is rising concern following the defeat of ISIS that the Syrian civil war is turning into a proxy fight between the U.S. and Russia, putting the lives of 2,000 American troops on the ground in Syria at risk. Overnight in eastern Syria, the U.S. military responded with overwhelming force when Russian-backed fighters loyal to Assad began what the Pentagon calls an unprovoked attack that lasted for 3 hours, beginning around midnight Thursday.
Pause it there for a second, Ken. So wait a second. the sovereign government of Syria asked the Russians to come help them out because they're surrounded by so many hostile forces that have penetrated their nation, the Saudis, the Turks, everybody else trying to overthrow the Assad regime. Of course, the Obama administration, and now elements in the Trump administration that are, now you could say they're holdovers or whatever, deep state holdovers, and we could get into that argument all day long, but the sovereign government of Syria invites the Russians in to help them out, and now you hear this kind of rhetoric from all the media platforms. It's just silly, but go ahead and let's resume.
Media accused the U.S. of aiding terrorists. Russia said it would raise the issue at the U.N. Security Council.
The U.S. was never invited to Syria. Who is the aggressor?
If we're attacked, we will defend ourselves.
500 Russian-backed fighters attacked an outpost used by U.S.-trained forces near Deir el-Zor, south of Raqqa, and near the oil fields that were until recently controlled by ISIS. The Euphrates River has become the demarcation line separating U.S.-backed fighters and Russian-backed Syrian forces.
The coalition observed a slow buildup of pro-regime forces over the past week.
20 to 30 tank, artillery, and mortar rounds landed just five football
fields. Go ahead and stop. Pause it for a second. So this is this black female State Department spokesman for the, you know, saying that they observed a pro-regime buildup in certain element, blah, blah, blah. So wait a minute. The government, the sitting government of Syria, they characterize it as a pro-regime buildup. You see how they play with words? I mean, like President Assad or not, I mean, The whole thing is sick, and there's layers to this thing. There's a lot of Orthodox Christians in Syria, okay? And so if you know anything about the Jesuits and the war with the Orthodox, you realize that this is another layer. Not only the Greater Israel Project, okay, but anywhere where there's Orthodox Christians, you know, post, you know, the great schism that happened in the 11th century. And I know there's Catholics that'll argue with me, but I just look at this kind of, I have to look at it with a balanced view. And you have to realize wherever there's Orthodox Christians, the Jesuits will align with whoever they need to do battle to overthrow Orthodoxy. You see the flood of migrants into Greece, for instance, Greek Orthodox Church. It's the home of Orthodoxy, basically. Okay, you see the Bolshevik slaughter of all the Orthodox priests, nuns, etc., etc. You don't think the Jesuits were on board with the Jewish mafia pulling this Wall Street coup, killing the czar and his family, and then putting in the Bolsheviks? You see, you always have to look at what kind of Christians are in this country, okay? Are they aligned with Rome? Because if they're not, then you'll always see basically the kosher mob forces and the Jesuit mob forces, and you'll see them a two-pronged attack into this nation. This is what we're witnessing here in the United States with basically the Protestant vision of the United States Constitution of limited government, checks and balances, separation of powers, all of this stuff. Basically, Rome will go to war with limited government wherever they see it, just as Bolshevik Jewry will go to war with limited government. And then elements of Islam, they're not going to handle limited government either. They all want total government, okay? And they'll basically make these little arrangements with each other to go to war with people that have a different viewpoint of how the world should be ordered, okay? This is what the UN, when you look at a lot of these UN engagements and UN operations over the last number of decades, you'll see this kind of nexus happen. Look at the Balkans, okay, with going after the Orthodox Serbs, okay, and the recognition of Croatia and the breakup of Yugoslavia and all that. That all has to do with Rome, Orthodoxy, and Islam and all kinds of things. And when you really get down into it with Bill Clinton being a minion of Carol Quigley of Georgetown University, you get into this whole thing and you're like, you understand that some of this, you're like, this is a war on orthodoxy. It is what it is. And look, I don't have an axe to grind against the Orthodox Christians. When you read a lot of their thinkers and a lot of their high-level prelates, man, they really are politically incorrect. And, I mean, this is why you see this war on their countries in a lot of, you know, instances. Now, Poland is interesting. It's hardcore Roman Catholic. But you're seeing this thing right now, this dust-up with them and the Holocaust narrative, okay? And I know many of you have seen this, where Poland is getting really drawn over the coals here because some of their leaders, because, you know, a lot of these quote-unquote death camps were in Poland. And so now you've got thinkers in Poland are like, oh, what? Revisionist thinkers like a lot of us over here on RBN and other networks, you're looking at it, you're taking a rehash of this whole thing with the Holocaust narrative, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a whole lot of shenanigans that happened here. The Bolshevik Russians come in from the east, and then they set up all these theatrical, let's just say, apparatuses about, oh, the ovens and all this other garbage. And then you realize that Polish people are realizing it. They're like, holy cow, we're getting thrown under the bus here. Like, there was all this going on in our country when a lot of this is highly questionable. And so now you're seeing the dust up here with the Polish, number one, with the Holocaust narrative. Number two, not wanting to absorb a ton of these migrants. Economic migrants is what they really are. They're not refugees from all over the world. The Eastern Bloc is not wanting, you know, Hungary and others. They don't want to see their countries wrecked like Sweden, Germany, France, Britain, and the Western Europe. And so, like I've said, there's going to be a bloodbath in Europe coming up soon, and we look for a European strongman to arise. And a lot of people are going to think that this is the Antichrist type thing, and he's probably going to be connected to a black nobility family that's around, you know, it's got a history with papal relations and so forth. This is what I see coming in the near future. You know, I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe some sort of Prussian, German, you know, Gutenberg type. I don't know whether it's King, the son of King Juan Carlos. It's hard to say who this figure is going to be to lead Europe out of the migrant onslaught. But keep your eyes on CERN, race-specific bioweapons. Who knows what's going to happen there? I've covered a lot of this, but quite fascinating. Let's see. We got a few minutes left. Ken, get clip 7 ready. Let's talk about, this is a Black Pigeon video, Black Pigeon Speaks. It's about the deep state, and we might as well cover this. I wanted to get into this. Go ahead and let 17 roll. That was George Soros choking on a chicken wing. Hold on. We're going to do 17. I'll play the George Soros and the war on cryptocurrencies in a little bit. But you'll see the big dip in Bitcoin at Davos.
I think maybe. Am I breaking up? Okay, go ahead.
To many, deep state is what refers to a more secretive and deeper reservoir of power that lies beneath the constitutionally ordained system of government that can and does both usurp and undermine the decisions and policy directions of both the president and members of Congress, as its power derives from the control of the mechanisms of power and is said to be invisible. Deep state is, as postulated by George Friedman, in fact a very real thing. However, the scope of the power it wields is debatable. It has been in place since 1871 and operates and directs the course of government, with time arches that go well beyond the four-year election cycle. It's called the civil service, and if you ever wondered why a president would go back on election promises or fudge on his supposed principles, as Barack Obama most certainly did with regards to things such as drone strikes and Guantanamo Bay, you will understand that it is these organizations that explain the continuity of plans that are enacted across the length of several presidential administrations. And it was the organization that was created specifically to limit the power of the president. It was in 1871 that Union General Carl Schurz proposed the idea of a politically neutral civil service based on a meritocracy, in that those working in the new civil service would be given positions based on competitive tests. The job of the civil service would be to implement the laws passed by Congress in the manner the president wanted. Prior to this, all government employees, save those from the other two branches of government, served at the pleasure of the president, who naturally chose loyalists or those he owed political favors to. The change meant that the civil service could not lose their jobs for political reasons, but only for cause. There were two very good reasons for the creation of the civil service. One was that, as alluded to previously, policies enacted could last for generations, while presidential terms were only 4 years long. If government employees were discharged every 4 years as they were prior to 1871, then the continuity in government would be broken. Basically put, the operation of the government had outgrown the terms of presidents, and it was also, again, to limit the power of said presidents. Or, more to the point, was the idea that the state had become more complex and the actual administration of government should be organized and overseen by career experts and only broadly guided by politicians who were seen as being unskilled at the job. And it was also seen as the only way to correct a democratic republic's shortcomings. The implementation of a class of administrators appointed by the president or cabinet members was the solution to the problem of controlling a civil service that was no longer under the direct control of the office of the president. In other words, another level of civil service was created that did serve at the president's pleasure and could be fired on a political whim and are usually dismissed with the arrival of a new administration. Add to this the many autonomous and semi-autonomous agencies such as the Federal Reserve and the CIA, and what has organically emerged over the last 145 years is a government system that is basically uncontrollable, as well as very difficult to even understand the workings of. The issue isn't whether deep state is real or not. It's an open secret. It was created for the purposes thus far explained. The issue is whether or not there is a layer of these employees whose ambitions exceed the parameters of their job. It's another open secret that many in the administrative arm of the government see the political arm as being incapable of understanding the real functions and workings of government. And serious issues arise when it is those in positions of power in the different branches of the government who may collude to revolt against, tamper with, or obstruct the political process, as well as use the power of their agencies as a political tool in defiance of the Constitution. Unlike those that peddle in conspiracy theories, deep state is not some hidden cartel of officials, but visible to anyone that looks and is in fact written into law. And deep state doesn't overthrow governments or stage coup d'etats, no matter how much Alex Jones wishes it so.
All right. And I got an article to read on the piggyback on this when we come back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Ken, get clip 20 ready. You're going to love this. This is Lieutenant Colonel Potter. This is one of the YouTubers I follow, but let's have some fun, shall we? And then this guy gets into the Q stuff real heavy, the QAnon stuff and so forth and so on. But I just like to show people kind of like where the plethora of some of the people out here and, you know, in these YouTube alternative media type circles are at. Let's roll 20.
I wanted you to know that, of course, we knew that there were some threats against the Super Bowl. And I got that information, of course, through Abel Danger and some others. And what it involved was a phosgene chemical weapons attack. That was the information we were getting through Abel Danger, and he sent that information, Phil McConnell did, to the White House. And then we also heard about some Somalis who were going to do a small arms attack against the Super Bowl as well. Now, neither of those happened, and there was a reason for that, And we have verified that Trump neutralized both attacks. Apparently, he used the Marine Corps to do that. So the threats were neutralized prior to the Super Bowl starting. And I didn't bring that up in the live stream this morning, but I wanted to do it now so that you would know about that, okay? Yeah, it was a serious thing, and Trump took care of it. So I like to give accolades when I can. You won't hear this from the mainstream media because, you know, if it didn't happen, if it was stopped,
all right, go ahead
then
and stop
they're
it.
Always...
But we get the gist of it, and so, look... It could be private, let's just say, black ops people doing the spraying outside of Trump's periphery of, you know, his ability to stop it. I don't know. Look, and when you hear this about, you know, thwarted terrorist attacks on the Super Bowl and the president, you know, and using the Marine Corps to stop it. The Marine Corps does serve at the pleasure of the president. Out of all the branches, I've talked about this numerous times. They drilled it in our heads when we were in boot camp that basically the president can use you almost in a, you know, any kind of way he wants to type of environment. That's just part of his prerogative, is to use the Marine Corps. And that was interesting that he said that. Hey, look, I just put this stuff out here. I let you guys think about it and decide. John Brennan steps down as the head of the CIA. Now you've got Mike Pompeo coming out of the Congress, takes over. Are they doing the spraying? Is the Air Force doing the spraying? Is it forces hostile to the country and to the president doing the spraying? You know, this is hard stuff to try to figure out. I mean, look at the immigration stuff. Look at all the judges that committed open treason. When the president just tries to, let's say, put up a roadblock to certain countries, and then you have these communist treasonous judges come out and issue these just idiotic and totally unconstitutional rulings that the president himself can't stop immigration from country A, B, C, and D. You know, and the Congress is lax on its judicial oversight role. The congressmen, the House of Representatives could immediately begin articles of impeachment on these people if they were truly congressmen and members of the House of Representatives, or are they members of the corporation that's running side by side of the old House of Representatives? See, this is this whole straw man fake corporate reality running side by side to the old system that we're dealing with here. See you on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate meeting.
Radio on RBN. Hope you're enjoying the show. You know, this is from January 3rd, and I read parts of this probably within the last month. Deep state shadow government revealed senior executive service. Okay. Most people know that a new president gets to name over 4,000 political appointees when they're elected. This political cronyism is partisan politics and fills our bloated government with unqualified employees. Some think that these are the people that comprise the deep state. There's a much more sinister system in place that controls Washington, D.C. bureaucracies through an actual organized shadow government called the deep state. It is the heart of the swamp. The Washington, D.C. deep state is a group of 8,156 appointed managers and 75 federal agencies that control the executive bureaucracy and tell new political appointees what they can and cannot do. Yes, that's right. The deep state is an official government program, well-organized, comprehensive, and in charge. Out of the 8,156 members who make up this deep state of ensconced bureaucrats, over 7,000 were appointed by Obama. These are the Obama holdouts that still control the executive branch of government a full year after Trump has come to office. Obama expanded the existing program of deep state managers and appointed over 7,000 of the 8,156 bosses who are called the SES, Senior Executive Service. Some call it the shadow government, and it is true that this federal cabal works in the shadows. Have you ever heard of such a group? Some call it Obama's army. Let's review what we know about the power of political appointees who hold important leadership and policy-making decisions. There are four basic types of appointments. Presidential appointments with Senate confirmation, that's 1,212 senior leaders, cabinet secretaries and their deputies, blah, blah, blah. Ambassadors, heads of most independent agencies, they must be confirmed by the Senate. Presidential appointees without Senate confirmation, 353 positions, which make up much of the White House staff, although they are also scattered throughout many of the smaller federal agencies. Non-career senior executive service. Members of the senior executive service work in key positions just below the top presidential appointees, bridging the gap between the political leaders and the civil service throughout the federal government. Schedule C appointments. There are 1,403 Schedule C appointees who serve in a confidential or policy role. They range from schedulers and confidential assistants to policy experts. The senior executive service in 2016 had 8,156 members who were appointees, and Obama, 7,000 of them. All right. So, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's up there on aimfortruth.org. Aim, like aim a weapon. Aim, the number 4, truth.org. And it gets into all these SES characters. And so, look, when you're talking about chemtrails, when you're talking about, you know, nefarious things going on, and you're wondering, this triggers the thought that, oh, see, Trump's just like all the rest of them. So Trump, let's just say he is, you know, George Washington 2.0. Imagine him battling, you know, 7,000 people who've all been put in place, scattered throughout the bureaucracies by this open Marxist Barack Obama. Frank Marshall Davis, his father, open Communist Party USA member. You know, you get into this whole thing with Dreams of My Real Father. It's worth a look and to try to temper your viewpoint here and realize that, okay, Trump could be a guy that's got some love for the founding fathers in his heart, and he's trying to bring us back from the brink of total, you know, idiocracy and annihilation. He's got a lot he's dealing with here as far as enemies embedded in the system. And so that's why I keep this open mind. And you got to realize I've seen enough domestically from Trump to realize, you know, I like some of it as far as this and that. Now, we talk about the spraying and the democide, you know, keep this whole thing marching forward. You're like, you hope that it's not him capitulating. You know, there's a lot of, like, people are talking on YouTube and other circles about this religious exemption that's about to pop in with the entire vaccine schedule. Keep your eyes open on that. With the HHS, Health and Human Services. And, you know, when you see Trump move in a positive direction on vaccines. That's another, you know, he promised this vaccine commission with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and so forth, and we haven't really seen that. You know, Roger Stone's been trying to move Trump in this direction, but, you know, I've seen enough weird stuff from Trump to where I'm still like, you know what, this dude, I don't like his buddy-buddy with Chabad Lubavitch and Jared and Ivanka and all that garbage. But, you know, and I might as well get into this now. Let me get, where's the stuff with Quincy Jones? Hey, Ken, get clip 11 ready. Now, Quincy Jones, this black, you know, music mogul, and people have been saying he's a real creep and into boys and all this, but he's basically bragging that he used to screw around with Ivanka now. And this is worth listening to, but it's because it's just like, watch for Quincy Jones to take a dirt nap soon is all I'm saying, because of the crap that he's just dumped out here. Let's roll clip 11.
Now, he talked about Michael Jackson. He said Michael stole a lot of stuff. He stole a lot of songs. He talked about Donna Summer's State of Independence and Billie Jean. The notes don't lie. He was as Machiavellian as they come. And he said it was because Michael Jackson was greedy. He said Michael should have given 10% of the song Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, but he wouldn't do it. And then outside of music, he said Michael Jackson, I used to kill him about the plastic surgery. He'd always justify it and say it was because of some disease he had, BS. He had a problem with his looks because his father told him he was ugly and abused him. Other things in the article, he talks about the Beatles and his first impressions of them. He said they were the worst musicians in the world. They were no playing MFers. And he talks about a story about being in the studio with George Martin and Ringo and just how bad it was. And he said he still thinks they're great guys, though. Also talked about all the allegations about people like Bill Cosby, and with Bill Cosby being a friend of his. How do you feel about that? And he said it was all of them. Brett Ratner, Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein, he's a jive MF-er. Wouldn't return my five calls. He called him a bully. And then he wouldn't say much about Bill Cosby. He said, we can't talk about this in public. All right, now he goes on to talk about going out with Ivanka Trump. He said his daughter, Kadada, hooked it up. And he said she's a fine MF-er. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life. Wrong father, though. And now a lot of people were also talking about what he said about Marlon Brando. He said that Marlon Brando was the most charming MF-er you ever met. He'd F anything, he'd F a mailbox. James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye. And then David Martiz asked him, come on, man, he said he slept with them. How do you know that? He said, come on, man, he did not give a F.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Well, so Quincy Jones just flying off the handle, saying he basically screwed around with Ivanka. Marlon Brando was a pervert, gay pervert that had sex with Richard Pryor and all these characters. He's talking smack on Michael Jackson. Interesting just to, you know, you see this weird stuff. You know, I pay attention to some of the black YouTubers and so forth, and you're just like, gosh, the stuff coming out from over there is just, some of it's hard to believe, but then some of it you just realize that how sick and demented the music industry is. And I talk about this from time to time, and, you know, I was probably talking about it last week, but, you know, all the rituals and everything everybody has to do to become the big heavyweight in music or Hollywood. It makes you sad that this is what, you know, people have to do to become, I guess, one of these famous people, and the willingness for them to, whore themselves out to basically destroy their own humanity in order to just become some rich person and some plastic idiot, and, you know, sacrifice family members. And, you know, you get into some of the dark, deep stuff and you're just like, wow. So, Ken, let's get clip two ready since we're on the dirty, scuzzy stuff. Let's get into you know, people were talking about this week, this little punk Quentin Tarantino, what a dirtbag. But the Oxfam stuff, the scandal coming out of Haiti, I mean, what is it with people wanting to take advantage of these poor people in Haiti? And I'm, look, I know the morals are loose in Haiti, just like Jamaica and just like the Dominican Republic. And so don't think that it's just like a bunch of evil Western whitey types going down there and just preying on the poor Haitians. And they're just, blah, blah. No, look, there's hookers up the wazoo in Haiti and the Dominican and Jamaica and the rest of it. Everything's for sale. And so don't think that it's just all evil people taking advantage of the poor Haitians. No, a lot of these Haitians sell their own kid for $20. But it doesn't excuse the fact that somebody's still buying the kid for $20. That's not what I'm saying. But we got to be balanced about this. Look at Thailand. Look at Cambodia. Look at Vietnam right now. And you look into the flesh trade and all the rest of it. I mean, it is what is Africa. Let's roll clip two.
Top Oxfam staff paid Haiti quake survivors for sex, and Quentin Tarantino defending child rapist Roman Polanski.
He was guilty of having sex with a minor. All right.
That she didn't want to have.
No, that was not the case at all. She wanted to have it.
Well, dated the guy.
She
was 13.
And found out. Well, and by the way, we're talking about America's morals. We're not talking about the morals in Europe and everything.
This soundbite, dug up from a 2003 interview with Howard Stern, illustrates the entrenchment of child sex and pedophilia as being an acceptable practice in Hollywood.
Wait a second.
More than Europe, more than China?
With a 13-year-old girl, and you're a grown man,
uh-huh,
you know that that's wrong because
giving her booze and pills.
Look, she was down with it.
Oh, you're crazy.
And she's talked about it.
Oh,
now she's an adult.
You are so crazy.
And calls to mind the horrors of the Pizzagate allegations involving John Podesta and Hillary Clinton and the Washington, D.C. deep state and its involvement in child sex trafficking. The absolute epidemic of pedophilia on planet Earth, and specifically in Washington, D.C. as it relates to Pizzagate, cannot be overstated. And according to a tweet from Open Secret, top Oxfam staff paid Haiti quake survivors for sex. The charity covered up the scandal in the earthquake zone, and the girls at a Caligula-style orgy may have been underage. And we share this story because Haiti continues to be a place where children are victimized by charities and foundations like the Clinton Foundation, which covered up the crimes of Laura Silsby as she attempted to traffic 33 children out of Haiti and was caught at the border, only to be defended by Hillary and Bill Clinton. And if that's not troubling enough, there's this article by John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, titled Little Barbies, Sex Trafficking of Young Girls is America's Dirty Little Secret. And John writes, they're called the Little Barbies. Children, young girls, some as young as 9 years old, are being bought and sold for sex in America. The average age for a young woman being sold for sex is now 13 years old.
I believe it's rape.
I don't believe it's rape. I mean, not at 13. Not for these 13-year-old party girls.
Oh, my.
Really?
13-year-old party girls. What is that?
This is America's Dirty Little Secret, but it's not a secret at all to those who watch this channel or follow Craig Sawyer or Liz Crokin. The little secret was blown out of the water by the John Podesta WikiLeaks emails, which suggest pedophilia and child sex trafficking and even satanic ritual abuse at the highest levels among Washington, D.C. elite.
It's SRA, so that's the satanic ritualistic abuse of children. So it's not just engaging in sex with these kids. They're involved in satanic abuse. They torture them and they abuse them in satanic rituals. And they believe that they are, you know, channeling these like dark forces, these evil forces, and it gives them power.
And again, in that soundbite from Quentin Tarantino, who defended Roman Polanski's anal rape of a 13-year-old girl, saying she wanted it.
But the situation was not that she was against all this. She was down to party with Roman.
It's against the law. Let's get right down to it. It's
oh, yeah.
Against
the adult
law.
Is supposed to know better.
Okay, but let's talk about it the way it is. She was down with the party. He was down with the party. But she was
13. She doesn't get to say she's down with the party. She can't sign a contract. She can't rent an apartment. She can't do anything. She has to get her parents' permission for everything she wants to do.
At 13,
I know. Could not make the decision.
You can't
but
make
now
no decision.
We're not talking about rape anymore. We're not talking about work doing
absolutely
it against her will.
Right.
It's right.
No, we're not.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
This behavior in Hollywood and Washington, D.C., is epidemic. As investigative journalist Amy Fine Collins notes, it's become more lucrative and much safer to sell malleable teens than drugs or guns. A pound of heroin or an AK-47 can be retailed once, but a young girl can be sold 10 to 15 times a day. This article goes on to say, on average, a child might be raped by 6,000 men during a 5-year period of servitude. Now, it should be noted that these quote-unquote men are monsters, and they are clearly part of pedophilic circles, and their practices are covered up by the elite. And given the now documented collusion between the FBI and the Department of Justice, colluding with the Clinton campaign, or colluding with Hillary herself to cover up her crimes, her treason, and sedition, and given the Clinton Foundation's direct involvement in what appears to be child sex trafficking in Haiti, it's not hard to make the leap that these same alphabet agencies, under the leadership of Obama or Hillary Clinton, may well have been involved in the cover-up of this type of child sex trafficking. We should
all
be very
right,
grateful
you can stop
that
it
there's
there.
A president.
I know we're coming up on a break, but, you know, all of us that are normal people, we just... You know, you hear Quentin Tarantino talking like on Howard Stern like that, and, you know... I could probably do hella violence to the guy if he was in my right now. See you on the other side, folks. I know this is insane, but this is what we're dealing with.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
We're back. Incendiary Radio. Now,
Ken, get clip 19 ready. You might as well move into this. You will get chipped. Let's roll 19.
A microchip society is a lot closer than you think, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. This is from USA Today. You will get chipped eventually. And also, another news article, DC is beta testing driver's licenses on cell phones. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are. Don't let the boogeyman get you. Obviously, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. And a microchip society is a good idea, right? I mean, we should be microchipped like cattle. It's for our own protection. It's for our own safety. And we should have little nanobots in our heads that if we start getting depressed thoughts or don't conform with the Borg society, then these little nanobots should be able to rewrite our brain, right? Because many people think that's the wave of the future and that's the way things should be. So let me share with you some excerpts out of this article. You will get chipped eventually. USA Today, Jefferson Graham, good article. Los Angeles, you will get chipped. It's just a matter of time. Now, remember earlier, several months ago, last year, a Wisconsin firm, company out there that deals with microchipping and vending machines, they said, look, we're going to microchip our employees, we're going to do it for free, and then that way when you go to the vending machine, all you got to do is swipe your hand and you're good to go. You don't even have to pull out your credit card. So they got a lot of hate, especially religious groups, and they also got a lot of praise. And I want to share with you a quote from Noel Chelsea. Or Chesley, Noel Chesley. It will happen to everybody, says Noel Chesley, an associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, but not this year and not in 2018, maybe not in my generation, but certainly that of my kids, end quote. So Gene Munster, an investor and also an analyst at Loop Ventures, is an advocate for augmented reality. I went to the website, and they're working with all sorts of VR stuff, robotics, brain-machine interface technologies. He thinks embedded chips in human bodies is 50 years away. He says, according to this article, in 10 years, Facebook, Google, Apple, Tesla will not have their employees chipped, he says. You will see some extreme forward-looking tech people adopting it, but not large companies. So he's saying that the big companies aren't going to do it, but maybe some of the smaller ones will. If you look at the current situation today, and want to give a huge shout-out to our sponsor.
All right, go ahead and stop it. Now, what the problem is they're not looking for a crisis or a cataclysmic event which might accelerate this right to our front door, like in a year or 6 months or 18 months. See, this is the problem. I think this is going to come on the cusp of an economic reset, an EMP, something of this nature. And so I think it could be a lot closer than a lot of us may think. They're still thinking of an innocuous this is just going to be a boiling frog type thing. No. I think it's going to come on the cusp of a crisis. See you guys on the other side.
Another Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the